I'd like to continue our discussion of not really Daf Yomi, but more related to the Minhagim, about the Tfilos of Shabbos. Okay, we got a little bit sidetracked yesterday with Shalom Aleichem. I want to go back to some short and young relating to some of the Tfilos. Pretty much taken from the Sefer, from Yitzhak Sender's Sefer, the commentator's Shabbos prayers. He has his own idea, which about it talks about the Yigdal. Very interesting. He has a very interesting idea. It is the Minhag Yisrael. I assume I don't know what they do in different shuls to sing Yigdal when davening is over. Is that what they do here in the shul?
Friday night. Yeah.
Friday night. You sing Yigdal. Not Adon Olam.
Right.
Yigdal.
My shul also.
Yigdal.
Friday night.
And what do they do at Bergman? They don't do Yigdal. No, they don't.
Zero. They're on the way home.
The modern.
Matter of fact, I'm not sure Yom Kippur. They say Adon Olam in the morning.
Yeah.
And they skip it
entirely. They don't. Right. Not everyone is so crazy about Yigdal. Okay, we know that. But the reason why they probably there, people say are in a rush. All of the new shuls today, they don't say Yigdal. The new minyanim. It's a new generation thing.
They
just
did on your own. Have a child.
In other words, where most of the congregants are, we can use the term yeshivish. There's no Adon Olam. There's no
Yigdal. Okay.
But they usually have a child.
It's a minuk. They have a child. Correct. This is an ancient minuk. It's brought down. Even one of the earliest sources, called the Tikkunei Tefillah. This is an early source which is very authoritative, that this minhag of reciting Yigdal goes back to Rome. The Jews of Rome. Now this must go back to the time shortly after the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's when the Jews settled. And it was their minhag to recite Yigdal Friday night. So the question is why? Why do we know? We all know that Yigdal is a synopsis of the Yud Gimel Animamins. If you look at the animamins, you can spend a lot of time analyzing the Yud Gimel animamins. The animamins appear in three places. In the Rambam, where he actually writes the Yud Gimel animamins. What we have in the back of the Siddur, the animamins, which is different than what it says. The reasons are a little bit different. There are very great nuances, differences. And then Yigdal's version of the animamins are different. It's very, very interesting to take each of the 13 principles and compare what the Rambam says. The Rambam is much more marich. And then look at the synopsis in the back of the Siddur, animamin. And then look at the shortest expression in the Yigdal of animamin. And you'll see major differences, major nuances, and that's a contradiction, a major nuance. But you'll see differences in the three, and you can discuss and play around, and you bring out many chidushim in exactly what are the 13 principles of faith. You think there are only 13 principles of faith? There are a lot more than 13 principles of faith in the 13 principles. Just like in the 10 commandments, there are a lot more than 10 commandments in the 10 commandments. They're more like 20 commandments. But it's 70. But the point is, why do we say Yigdal? So he suggests a fascinating answer, Rav Yitzhak Sender, that there is something called Zmiro Shabbos. Zmiro Shabbos is primarily what you do at home. You come home, Askinu Sudasa, Karibon, and so on and so forth, Mizmor David. That is a topic in and of itself. The reason why Yigdal was instituted in the Beis HaKnesses was to start to initiate the process of Zmiros. And Zmiros is a whole topic, a whole section. You come home, you eat. You don't just say. You're supposed to sing at home certain Zmiros.
Friday night.
In order to start the process of Zmiros, it starts in shul. When does it start in shul? When davening is over, everyone begins to sing the first zemer together, Yigdal. Yigdal is a zemer. You initiate the process, and that process continues into the home. It is the connection between the home service, the service in the Beis HaKnesses, and the service that you're going to perform at home. It's the bridge. It's the bridge that brings together these two services. I don't think we typically think of it like that. We think of Yigdal as part of the Tefillah. You daven, the concluding service of Tefillah, say Yigdal. Again, it's a very nice Jewish. A person should not think that he accomplished anything. A person davens, he spends so much time concentrating, a person can be come to a little gaiva. I have accomplished great things. I'm in a very hard madrega. You have to remember when the day's over, you didn't even begin. You haven't even started. You go back to the very beginning to Yigdal. Don't think you've done anything special. Hold it from Mahalach. No. Davening is over with Kaddish Yosem. Over, finished, kaput, announcements. Really, you should have announcements and everyone. Then you should sit down again. And now we're going to bridge the service of Ma'ariv with what we're going to do at home by starting the Zemiros. Beautiful idea. Whole different way of looking at what you're doing when you're saying Yigdal. It's an original idea. He doesn't have any source of this. Okay, let's now go to the next, just another short idea. Art scroll, Meyer of Night, at night?
No, it doesn't have it at all.
Really? Avdol Olam. Yeah, you're right. It's very interesting. It has Avdol Olam.
What?
157. Okay, it's very interesting. It has here Adon Olam. Yigdal is a controversial zemer. Some refuse to say Yigdal even in the morning. I don't remember the details.
Usually you want people there.
Okay, very interesting.
Taking off on what you said, you're using the term as a bridge, it's part of Zemiros. It may be said for the people, let's say in the town, there were Orchim, and they didn't have a home. And they
ate in the shul.
And they slept in the shul or what? So maybe it was for them, for the same concept why shuls had originally Kiddush for
them. Yeah.
The same thing for this Yigdal, it's the first Zemiros.
Of them in shul itself. Okay, that's an idea. I hear what you're saying. Okay, very good. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Let's go to Pesukei Dezimra. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos, the beginning, I think it's Daf Zayin, somewhere towards the beginning, discussed that on Shabbos we only recite 7 brachos compared to the 19 brachos that we recite every single day. During the weekday, there are 18 brachos, Shmona Esrei. How many brachos are there in the 18? 19. Everything is always off. Everything is always off. There are 19 brachos in the Shmona Esrei in the 18. During the weekday, during Shabbos, you only have 7. The first 3, Avos, Tchias HaMesim, Kedusha. The last 3, Avoda, Ritzesim, Shalom. And we have 1 bracha, Kedushas Hayom. So the Gemara asks the question, so why not say on Shabbos all 19 brachas? Chazal didn't want to matriach you. They don't want to trouble you. It's Shabbos. Covered Shabbos. You have to spend so much time in the Beis HaKnesses concentrating on all the tefillah. It's too much. Too much to cover the honor of Shabbos. So here's the question. What? In Echnami, so really, there's nothing wrong with anybody.
You already have Shabbos, you know. Why you don't?
So you're saying that on Shabbos you don't make private bakashos?
Yeah.
So that's all part of the same reason. They don't want to be matriach people on Shabbos to make private bakashos. So they banned private bakashos because of the honor of Shabbos. So the question is that they're so concerned with the honor of Shabbos, not to matriach people. So why then is Pesukei Dezimra 20 times as big? If they want to make it, easy on you, some Pesukei Dezimra should be shorter on Shabbos. Why is it? What?
For the latecomers.
They have plenty of time to come in
why
before Baruch.
The same thing for why you say Kal and on Shabbos. In Musaf,
yeah.
Okay,
they come late. Okay,
farmers or.
But still, in all, even for the people who do come early, why? If Chazal are so concerned about Tircha de Tzibura, why are they not concerned about Tircha de Tzibura when it comes to Pesuk de Zimra? So there's a Musavar. The Musavar is, this is a very powerful var. If you think about it very deeply, is that Tircha de Tzibura is only when it comes to yourself. When it comes to others, there's no such thing as Tircha de Tzibura. The Shmona Esrei, you're asking for yourself. Hashem, I want. Give me. I need this. I need A, B, C, D. It's Shabbos. So Chazal are not going to obligate you to do things that are for your own personal benefit. It's a tircha. And since the gain, the benefit is going to be for yourself, what you're doing is for yourself. So you know what? Tircha de Tzibur, we're not going to make enactments, takanas, that you should do things for yourself.
But the Lashon of the Shmona Esrei is Lashon
Rav. The Klal Yisrael.
Or a Kalein.
Right, so it's all right for Kalein, but it's for Kalein, it's for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. It's the benefit that Hashem should give. Hashem should give to us, to the entire Klal Yisrael. But it's all for, it's a one-way street. Hashem should give us. We'll do nothing. You, Hashem, we want, we have a laundry list of what we need, grocery list of what we need, this is what we want, give us all these things. Psuki the Zimra, it's the opposite direction. You're giving to Hashem. You give Shevach v'Hayda, you sing. When it comes to giving to Hashem, there's no such thing as Tircha d'Tzibur. Shabbos, Chazal, went easy on you. There's Tircha, we're going to go easy. We're only going to go easy when it comes to things that you're trying to take for yourself, for Klal Yisrael, to take. But to give, there's no idea of we're going to be go easy on you when it comes. Giving Adarab, it's Shabbos, you have more time, give more. Give more of yourself. So give Hashem more praise.
If you're ill and you have to daven at home, Shabbos morning.
Doesn't matter. No, you shouldn't skip. If you have to skip, you have to skip.
From what you're saying.
No, you have to follow the rules. The general rules are you have
to. Something in Zimra.
No, you never say Rifa'inu. You never mispalel for your own request on Shabbos. Shabbos himalizik. The bottom line is Chazal made a takana on Shabbos. You don't make a request. What went into the thinking behind why they made this takana? You don't make a request on Shabbos because Shabbos is a day that you give honor, and the honor is don't make requests on Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. So once that law has been established, there is no loy pluk. That's the way the law is. Okay, now let's go to another what. So there are exceptions. It's not part of the formal. We don't make requests part of the formal nusach of the Shmon Esher, which is where you oimer lifnei hamelach. But like a side request from the sidelines, we can chaperayin a little thing here and there. A mishaberach, a harachamim, a memorial. We do things on Shabbos that you would right away are not in the spirit of Shabbos. But all of those things are not front and center. They're all from the side. And from the side, then it's okay. That's also part of the takan. Okay, let's now jump to, I don't want to run out of time to discuss. I'm going to jump ahead to something I was waiting for the end, but I feel it's very important, so let me jump to right now. I want to talk about the Haftarah. I want to spend some time discussing the Barachos and the Inyan of the Haftarah on Shabbos. Now, why do we recite the Haftarah? Do we learn from Nevi'im on Shabbos? So probably most of you will right away think of the Taz. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. There's no Chazal. This is only mentioned by the Taz, that in ancient times there were gezeros, shmat, where the non-Jews did not allow us to learn the Torah, and in fact they would send inspectors into the Bate Knesios, and there are many different tekuvos in Klal Yisrael when this happened. It happened with regard to Shofar, it happened with regard to all different types of things. They would even come to listen to what the rabbi would say, to listen to the rabbi's drasha, to make sure he's not preaching anything about Yiddishkeit in his drasha. But there were times when the Goyim did not allow us to read from the Torah. And therefore, in order not that we should not forget that there's something called Kriyas HaTorah, and the Meher of Yomeinu, the Goyim should leave us alone, Chazal enacted that you should lean instead from the prophets. That the Goyim were not so makbid on, and that's why we lean 21 psukim. Each aliyah, there has to be at least 21 psukim in the Haftarah, because each aliyah in the Torah has at least 3 psukim. So 7 times 3 is 21, so the Haftarah must have at least 21 psukim, unless it's one inyan, unless you have a section of the Haftarah which is complete and it's less than 21 psukim. But generally speaking, when we learn from the Haftarah, you must have, because everything was made as a reminder of Kriyas HaTorah during that time period when the Goyim did not allow us to learn from the Torah. This reason is given by the Taz, and it's by far the most popular reason. Even though Bizman has said, once again, we are Baruch Hashem allowed to learn from the Torah, Minig Avoseinu Biyodeinu, once we started doing it, we don't stop, we continue to do this. Now we should be aware, this is not the only reason why we learn the Haftarah. There are other reasons why we learn the Haftarah. I saw Rav Yitzchak Sender brings down that really we should be on Shabbos and we have more time available. We want to learn the all three parts of the Torah. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And it was originally the Takana, you lay in the Torah, and then you lay in the Haftarah, the Nevi'im, and Shabbos Mincha, they would lay in Ksuvim. It's brought down in the Gemara. There was a formal process where Ksuvim includes Tehillim, includes Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim, the Chomesh Megillos, Ksuvim. Eoiv, and this was formally read. It could even well be that there was a certain Seder of reading various Ksuvim by Shabbos Mincha. However, people began to abuse the Ksuvim by reading Ksuvim and not coming to the rabbi's drasha. In ancient times, the rabbi used to speak, used to learn, give important things over to the tzibur on Shabbos afternoon, and people would spend their time learning Ksuvim and not coming to the drasha, so they made a takana to mevatel the takana. But the original takana was that since it's Shabbos, we have to focus on all three parts of the Torah. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. So Torah, Nevi'im was done in the morning, and Ksuvim was done in the afternoon. For some reason, Ksuvim became bottled, but the Nevi'im remained in its place. But it's part of the general rule of you have to have a flavor for all three. Another reason why we lain the Haftarah, we have to really understand, what is the word Haftarah? Word Haftarah, it's a very strange word. So there are a number of interpretations of what it means. One means to conclude. Like, for example, Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoyman. Mishnah Masech Psachim, you do not have dessert. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach. After you eat the Korban Pesach, you are not maftir, you do not conclude with afikoyman. Afikoyman means dessert. We call afikoman today the matzah, that is dessert. But originally in the Mishnah, so the word maftirin from the context of this Mishnah means to conclude. So what does it mean, the Haftarah? It's the conclusion of the public reading. We read the Torah, and now we are maftir. We conclude, we finish off the public reading with reading from the prophets. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation for the word maftir comes from the word in the Torah, Peter Rechem. Peter means to open up. A firstborn is called the Peter, the opener of the womb. A donkey is a pet. The firstborn donkey is a Peter Chamar, the firstborn of the donkey. The Haftarah is called what opens. Why is it called something that opens? So there are different interpretations. One interpretation, believe it or not, is because now you're allowed to talk. Now don't try this in your shul. But in the original times, they were extremely strict. You're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to talk during Kriyas HaTorah. It's strictly forbidden. Not only can't talk Kriyas HaTorah, there are those that are Machmer Afil Ben Gavra LeGavra. You're not allowed to talk. When you come to the Haftarah, the restrictions are relaxed, and you're allowed to talk. Believe it or not, at least for certain, at least in halachic and yanim. So you can now loosen up. You don't have to guard yourself, guard your mouth. In Kriyas HaTorah, keep your mouth locked, padlock. It's now maftir. You can peter rechem. You can open up your mouth. You can loosen up. It's permitted technically to speak. Again, like I told you, don't try this in your shul. The rabbi is not going to be very happy. But that's one. Another interpretation. Peter means to open. Maftir Haftarah comes from the shurish of peter, to open up.
That
another.
Might,
yeah.
That might explain why.
Kishklops.
Kishklops. Well, this is smart to be along with it to preempt.
Nusach Svar, the minig is, everyone says to themselves.
Yeah, so that way
sometimes,
you're not talking.
I remember, I always grew up in an Ashkenaz shul. I remember when I was a child, I used to go to my grandfather, it was a shock to me how they did the Haftarah. That the person gets up to the Haftarah and he mumbles it, and everyone there, the people in the tzibor, they weren't saying it. Maybe one or two were saying it. They were just. I don't know what they were doing. So I grew up in a young Israel, and it's a big thing. Right, the person gets the Haftarah. You know, you practice the whole week for this, and you get up. and you say the Haftorah and everyone listens and it's quiet, it's very respectable. What with the trop? Of course with the trop. And it's very respectable, it's a big thing. And then I got a little older, I went to yeshiva, and in yeshiva they lay in it from a cloth.
Right.
From a cloth, and it's even more chashuv. And it's even more chashuv. And they lay in it, they have a professional, the person who lays from the Torah, he lays the Haftorah with the it's not just the average guy who gets up to lay it. Haftorah in the young Israel is very chashuv. But anyone can do it. So not everyone does it the same degree of professionalism. But then I went to yeshiva, so they had a real professional, top-notch guy, did the Haftorah, it was very, very impressive. Then I go to this shtiebel, and I see, I was in shock. Okay, fine, I recovered. I recovered. But what was a bigger shock to me, this is amazing, was a bigger shock to me, is that many years later, I was again in the Young Israel, okay, and there was a Hasidish fellow, who was a lot older than me, okay, he was no youngster, and his whole life he davened Nusach Svar. I don't think he probably never ever davened in an Ashkenaz minion. For some reason he was there that Shabbos, and he was wound up in our shul. He davened he didn't get maftir, but he never ever saw someone read the Haftorah in a distinguished and a formal way. And the expression on his face was something I'll never forget. As he saw the person gets up to read the Haftorah, and everyone in the shul is dead quiet, silence, and he reads it loud, with trop, in a Bakovedika way. Exactly, yeah, exactly. Exactly. He never saw this. And it was told to him, this is not only how we do it, this is how the whole world, Nusach Ashkenaz. And he never heard of this. And this is a person who knows, smart, this is a Talmud Chacham, he just never was exposed to such a custom. And it was very revealing to me, the same way it was revealing to me the first time I saw it the other way around. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was even a bigger shock to me to watch someone from the other end of the spectrum to see it being done this way, who has never been exposed to this his entire life. Okay, but
why is the Haftorah tied to the guy who gets mocked?
We compensation package.
Okay.
Compensation. Since it's not part of the real Kriyas HaTorah,
right.
So we give him McBrach, there are five brachas. We want to appease him. We've insulted him. Mm-hmm. By giving him the maftir, we gave you a portion of the Torah which was already read, and it's not ma'akef. It's not even a child can read the Haftorah. So we've insulted that person by giving him something which is not. So we will make it up to you. You'll read the Haftorah. You'll make five brachas, and not only that, we'll give you musaf. And not only that, you'll make a kiddush. Kiddush in your honor, but you'll pay for it though. What?
Maftir
Musaf. So the general minhag is he has a shan halach, he has kedima, the get Musaf. Alright, so not all shuls do that. Not all shuls will automatically give the Baal Maftir. Different minhagim. Some do. It depends. It's not etched in stone that the Maftir is expected to daven Musaf. Not mochach. Okay, but I want to discuss something now. It's called opening up. Now, there's another reason why it's called opening up. This is really, I think, really the name fits much better with the word opening. The reason why it's called the opener, it opens up the parsha. The Haftorah, when you read the Haftorah, the ideas expressed in the Haftorah give us a whole new perspective of what it says in the parsha. Very often, with the exception of the Shiva de Nechemta and the Gimel de Paranusa and the Dal Parshios, Ruba de Ruba, the Haftorah relates, the theme of the Haftorah relates to the theme of the Parsha. So when you read the Haftorah, it gives you a new perspective in a certain theme, and then when you go back to the Parsha, and you look at the Parsha, oh, I didn't look at it like that. You gain new perspective from the Haftorah, so the Haftorah is the opener. It opens up why the concepts of what's taking place in the parasha. That's a very nice idea to explain why it's called It's called peter, to open up. Okay, a third reason why it's called a haftarah comes from the word patur, exempt. And this goes back to the original takana, the din in the time of Shema, they were not allowed to lane the Torah. The only thing they can do is, so the next best thing was to lane the haftarah. So laning of the haftarah was potur. They were freed from their obligation from laning the Torah by replacing it, at least temporarily, during this time period, by laning from the haftarah. So sach hakol, three different translations for the word haftarah. It means to conclude, ein maftirin achara pesach afikomen, it is the end of the public reading. Number two, it means to open. Opening can either be interpreted that now you're allowed to open your mouth, you're allowed to talk. The time of davening when you have to keep your mouth closed is over. You can now begin to loosen up. Or it's the opener to understand the depth of the deeper meaning of the themes of the parasha itself. When you get a new perspective from the Nevi'im, now you understand the Torah. Or it means exemption. If you can't learn the Torah, the next best thing to free yourself from your obligation to publicly read from the scripture is to read from the Haftarah. Now, let me tell you one drush. This drush is very close to my heart. We have five brachas for the Haftarah. The first bracha is Asher Bochar. Oh, wait, I want to take one before I go to that, just a verse, very, very short. There's a very interesting expression here. Coming up, Chanukah is coming up soon. And you say here, and in the bracha, when you conclude the Haftarah, you say, Al Kiso Lo Yeshev Zar, upon the throne of David, a stranger may not sit. Why is that part of the Nusach? Of course, go look at the Shulchan Aruch, look at the Torah. Al Kiso, upon the throne of David, Lo Yeshev Zar. Let me just find those exact words. Samchenu Hashem Elokeinu b'Elyon Avi Avdecha v'Malchus Beis Dov v'Mishchechu v'Mehira b'Yovel Yogel Libeinu Al Kiso Lo Yeshev Zar. So some want to say an incredible insight. We don't really know exactly at what point in history there was this gezeira where they were not allowed to learn the Torah. And instead, Chazal enacted that we should learn from the Haftarah. Did this happen during the time of the Romans? There's all different periods of history. Maybe it happened during the time of the Bayesheni, or Bayesheni. So someone has suggested this happened during the times of the Syrian Greeks, during the time of Hanukkah. This was part of the time of Hanukkah, and who was the king of the time of Hanukkah? The Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim are not from Shevet Yehuda. That was the big criticism that they had, even though they took control of Malchus David, of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, because there was no one else, but they had an obligation to relinquish their power and restore the Malchus to a descendant from the tribe of Yehuda. Lo yaser shevet mi Yehuda mechayik mi ben rank of Malchus. Authority in Klal Yisrael always belongs to Yehuda, to no one else. The Chashmonaim, the people who were in control during the time of the Hanukkah miracle, are not from Shevet Yehuda. Someone learned that that's why there's no Masechta for Hanukkah, because Rabbeinu Hakadosh had complaints against the Chashmonaim, why they did not relinquish their power and restore it to the Shevet of Yehuda. So he did not want you, Rabbeinu Hakadosh. Is from, it's a controversial answer. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is from Shevet Yehuda, and he was upset at the Chashmonaim who took control of the leadership of Klal Yisrael and did not return it, restore it to their rightful owner. So he did not author a Masechta specifically in honor of the Chashmonaim, the miracle of Hanukkah. Yeah.
Did the
Chashmonaim
prohibit the reading of Torah?
Now getting back to this, during that time period, not the Chashmonaim, they were the time of the Syrian Greeks.
The Syrian Greeks took control,
and they were not allowed to lane the Torah, the Goyim. The Syrian Greeks took control, and they had no choice but to do the next best thing as to lane from the Nevi'im, and they enacted these five brachas, one before, and one bracha before, and four brachas after. But during, since they were living in a tkufa when the Chashmonaim were in control, they were weak. They were very weak at this point in time. The proof is that the Goyim prevented us from actually laning the Megillah, laning the Torah. But they were still in control in whatever capacity they had. there was a hint put in by Chazal that this cannot be maintained. This situation where the Chashmonoim are in control is not proper in halacha. Al kiso lo yeshev zar. It's a fascinating insight that every time you read the Haftarah, you're going back to that kufa of Hanukkah, of the Chashmonoim. Chashmonoim was a very great time, very great miracle for all generations. But still, there was something wrong. They don't have authority to lead Klal Yisrael. It has to go to Shevet Yehuda. Okay, now the point I want to make. This is the point. This is the one that I really. This is an important point. When do we lay in the Haftarah? We lay in the Haftarah. There are four, I want to suggest the drush. There are five different types of Haftarahs that we lay in. The first most simple is when the Haftarah relates to the Parsha. There's no special event taking place. It's not after, it's not Yom Tif, it's not Chanukah, it's not Chol HaMoed. It's just a regular Shabbos. Shabbos Parshas Noach. Yilein, Roni Akar, Lo Yolada from Yeshaya, Kimei Noach, Hemli, Yilein, Apostik. Yilein, something in the Haftarah that relates to the Parsha.
Right.
That's the simplest type. Then you lay in the Haftarah, the 3 weeks building up to Tisha B'Av. And those three Haftarahs have a special term called Gimel de Paranusa. Three Haftarahs of punishment. Strong Musar telling us, if you don't do tshuva, if you don't shape up, it's curtains. It's all over. Then there are seven Haftarahs called Shiva, Dinachanta, comfort, to give nechama to Klal Yisrael for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Then there's Haftarah, four Haftaros of Geula, Parsha Zohar, Shofar Shkolim, Zohar, Para, and Chodesh. These are four Haftaros which build up the climax to Geula. Chodesh Elohim Rosh Chodashim, which is the Shkolim, you have to have new Shkolim. These are all in the concept of preparing us. Shkolim, Zohar, Para, Chodesh for Pesach, coming to Pesach and Shabbos HaGadol, I guess Shabbos HaGadol also, you're coming in preparation for a Tkuf of Geula. And then there's what we call Me'ein HaMa'oira, the occurrence of the day. It's Yom Tif. On Yom Tif, you're laying about, it's Pesach, you're laying about Pesach. It's Shavuos, you're laying about Shavuos. You're laying about Chanukah, you're laying about Chanukah. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. Even though it used to be a minig that a chasan, when there's an ufruf, I used to say ufruf, it's ufruf, they pass ufruf. Okay, whatever, they used to lay in sois tosis, they wouldn't lay in the haftarah. They would lay in with the haftarah for parashas nitzavim. Parashas nitzavim, because that is a haftarah that deals with the chasan and kawa. So they would forget about the haftarah for the week, and this would be lay in by an ufruf. Some then have the custom to do both. We lay in three psukim. We don't do today. You don't see this done. Now circles. You don't see it done today. But there's something called me'ein hama'ayur. So I've really given you five different types of.
Can you repeat them again?
I'm giving you now five different types of haftaras. Simplest parsha. It relates to the parsha. Correct? Can't deny that, right? The parsha.
That's categories.
I want to say it's five categories.
Season.
No, I want to break up the seasons. The seasons are so different. They're so different. I want to break it into five categories. You'll see in a moment why. I want to break into five categories.
Five.
Parsha is number one. Parsha. Number two is Paranusa.
How many of those are there?
Parsha, I don't know the number. I don't count. I don't know.
All the regulars.
Then there's Paranusa. These are terms in Chazal. Gimel de Paranusa. Musar, punishment. Musar, the strongest Musar. Then there's Zayin Dinechemta, comfort, to give us Nechama for what we've lost. After Tisha B'Av, the seven after Tisha B'Av. Then I call them, these are my terms, the Gimel of Geula. The Dalet of Geula, the Dalet of the four or five, which is Shkolim, that whole season. Shkolim, Zohar, Para, Chodesh, and I'll throw in for you also Shabbos HaGadol. Special Haftarah Shabbos HaGadol. Okay? So let's throw in five. I call them Geula. All the theme of Geula. And then what we call Me'ein HaMa'ira. The event. The event of the day, the event of the occurrence. If it's Hanukkah, you gotta learn Zachar, you gotta learn about Hanukkah menorah. About the menorah. If it's Purim, well there's no Purim, if it's Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Me'ein HaMa'ira. Yeah.
Okay.
Mach, yeah, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Me'inam Ora. Mach HaChodesh or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, that's in the category of Me'in HaMo'ora, five categories. Now, here's my drush. Five categories. How many brachas are there for the Haftarah?
Five.
Everyone, why there's so many brachas? Compensation package, five brachas, pretty big compensation package for giving a person an after. Why? The reason why there are five brachas to correspond to the five different types of haftarah. The first bracha, the bracha rishayna, before you say the haftarah, fits perfectly in line with the parasha. What does it say? Asher bochar b'nevim tovim, v'rotza b'nevim b'hanemorim b'mes, b'ruchat ha-Hashem, ha-boicher ba-toira. We connect the haftarah to the Torah. Ha-boicher ba-toira, u'v'moyshe avdo. We really focus on the Torah. That's what we focus on the first bracha. Moshe gave us the Torah. We focus on the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah, we're now learning the half Torah. The half Torah is me'in the Torah. Now, we come to the next bracha. Baruch atah Hashem al-Kirim al-Kholam, Tzur kol ho'ilumim, the rock. Hashem is a tzaddik. B'chol adoros. O'kel ha'neman. You know, this sounds like tzidik hadin. It sounds like Tzidik HaDin.
Peronios.
Gimel de Peronusa. Ha-kel ha-nemon ha-oimer ve-oise ha-medar ve-mekayim she-kol devarav emes v-tzedek. Tzidik HaDin. Mamash, Tzidik HaDin. You can't get better than this. Nemon ha-atah ha-shem al-kein v-nemon ha-medarach v-chodarach ha-medarach v-chol ha-yoshem reikom. Whatever you say is going to happen. Whatever you say, Gimel de Peronusa. This bracha corresponds to Gimel de Peronusa. Punishment, whatever Hashem says we have to do. If we don't follow Hashem's rule, we're in a lot of trouble. What's wrong?
That was the tzur.
That's part of the same bracha. It's all one big bracha.
Oh, okay.
It's all one. It's a very long bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, okel ha-neman b'chol devarav. It's all one. By the way, you should know that in ancient times, when you said this bracha, the tzibur participated. It's Mishnah Masechta and Masechta Seferim. It's one of those small Masechtas. What would happen in ancient times in this bracha? You finished off Torah. So the person makes Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Tzur Kol Ha'olamim Tzadik B'chol Ha'aretz Okel Ha'neman Ha'imer V'yoseh Hamadav Mekayim Shekol Devarav Emes V'Tzedek. Stop. And now the tzibur, everyone in the tzibur now together says, Neman atu Hashem Elokeinu, v'nemanim devarecha v'derecha midvarecha achor lo yashuv reikam, ki kel melech neman v'racham anata. And then the person who got the aliyah, he then repeats it. It was done responsively. This section of Neman, I don't know why it's not done today, that's how it was done. You get to Neman, everyone says Neman, and then the person responds. Okay, but there's one big bracha. And the one who gets the bracha, he includes Baruch Atah Hashem, Okel HaNeman, and B'chodav. This is Gimel de Paranusa. Tzidik HaDin, punishment, you don't shape up. Chazon Yishayel ben Amot, Sasher Chazon, Al Yudhi Vishalayim. That's the Ikka, the first of the Gimel de Paranusa. Now we come to the third bracha. Rachem Hashem al Tzion, have mercy on Tzion, ki hi beis chayenu, v'laluvas nefesh toshia b'mher save us b'mher of yameinu. Nechama, Baruch Atah Hashem b'mesamech Tzion b'vonecha Zayin b'nechemta. Then we come to Me'ein Hamo'ira. The last category is Samcheinu Hashem Elokeinu b'Elyon Aviyot. I'm sorry. Next, we're up to the bracha number four. We're up to Geula. Geula. The four of Geula. Shkolim, Zohar, Para, Chodesh. Samcheinu Hashem Elokeinu b'Elyon Hanavi. Mashiach, Geula. Uvimalchus based on Mashiach. B'mehera Yovo. V'yogeli b'enu. Al kisalo yeshev zav. Lo yinchal oyechen meskevodo. Ki v'shem v'chosh kone shpatlo. Shlo yich b'nei v'li lovo. Baruch Atah Hashem Ogein David. This is all about Geula. The Dal, the five haftaros of Geula. And then comes Me'ein Hamo'ira. The event. You have Al HaTorah, V'al HaAvodah, V'al HaNeviim, V'al Yom HaShabbos HaZeh. Here's where you add in. If it's Pesach, V'al Yom Chag HaSukkos HaZeh, V'al Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh. And this is brachas where you make all the Shinuyim, V'al Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. You make all the shinuyim here in this last bracha. This last bracha is the bracha that corresponds to the ne'ein ha-me'oira, the event. Now, Chanukah, of course, you're not going to eat anything in, but it's the idea is there. The concept is there. It's shakal. So this is my drush. There are, you look at all the haftaras, you can break up all the haftaras into five different categories. And there are five brachas for the haftarah. The five brachas correspond to the five categories of the haftarah. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Have a good day, Mishum, tomorrow, 9:30.